Bring them down closer to parity with the wardens? Silver asked, scrutinizing the warframe. It wouldn't save everyone, but it'd lower the damage.
I'm not sure, Caden admitted. I doubt it, though. The wardens moved away before they split their units, remember? I'm guessing you can't alter formations if they are adjacent to the enemy.
Silver tilted her head, then scowled. Damn, you're probably right. It makes sense. She looked to him then. Is there anything we can do to help them?
Caden shrugged. That depends. How well can you ride? As it turned out, better than Caden. This sucks, this sucks, this sucks! The young man cried, one hand clutching the pommel of his saddle for dear life as his steed galloped towards the warden lines. Oh, come on, Caden. This was your idea. Michael's voice came through crisp and clear over Caden's headset, one of the few things he could hear at all besides the wind whipping past his ears.
Aren't you from Iowa?
Celia asked slyly.
Yeah, the modern part.
Silver's reply came even before Caden could regret his choice of words.
There is such a thing?
You know what? Could we focus just a little?
Shifty's voice overrode whatever poor insult Caden had in mind, and drew all their attention back to the matter at hand. It had already been a hard ride, and it was about to get harder. The plan was a simple one. Bastion came before Ilo in the turn order, and since they were outside the encirclement, Caden's forces should be able to break the warden trap without being subject to it. At least, that was the theory. In practice, it would be a little more dicey. His infantry had to move 3 hexes just to reach the outside of the warden line, and another 4 after that to reach the nearest city gate, which meant they'd only be able to engage the first ring of warden troops. This meant that the cavalry graciously entrusted to him by Vilerat was going to do the brunt of the fighting. Even accounting for the natural 25% bonus that cavalry had on the offensive, the blitz tactic bonus, and the fact that cavalry could attack multiple times a turn, provided they defeated a formation with each attack, it would still be a close thing. Which was where Caden and his companions came in. Between the 5 of them alone, they added over 1,000 combat value to the unit. Nearly 2, once the offensive bonuses were accounted for. More than enough to allow them to trample through each and every one of the 5 remaining units. And if they failed, there was still a second, fresh cavalry unit waiting to clean up their mess. There was, of course, one other problem, but that would have to wait until after.
Not far now,
Silver said as their horses navigated the bodies of nearly 100 slain warden soldiers, roughly half of which were already partially or mostly ash.
So what do we do once we get into the hex? Just hang around with the cavalry? Or do we have to fight to provide the bonus?
Shifty asked.
I'm honestly not sure, Caden winced. I really wish we'd tested this when we...
A sudden wave of heat flooded Caden's chest, as though a fire had started next to his heart, cutting him off mid-sentence. And just like a fire, it spread, the heat expanding to his shoulders and abdomen, then to his arm and legs. It felt similar to the sensation that occurred whenever he activated one of his combat skills, but worse, as if somehow stronger.
I can't move my arm.
He realized a moment before he understood that he couldn't move anything. Even his eyes were no longer under his control, his perspective fixed to whatever the tower wanted to show him, like a cutscene from a first-person shooter. His body moved under its own impetus, the once barely stable boy now upright and steady as his horse picked up the pace, rushing headlong towards warden soldiers that had already turned to greet him. Armed primarily with single-handed edged weapons, the warden formation could not brace in any meaningful way, their line fracturing into pieces as the cavalry struck them with a sound unlike anything Caden had ever heard, like thunder colliding with an artillery shell. The whole of the combat was over in moments, so quickly that Caden's body had scarcely begun to whirl its horse for another pass when the last warden soldier was pierced by a spear tip.
Goon Cavalry, Blitz. Attacks Warden Formation, 18th. Total Defense, Attack. Value, 4,725 versus Defense Value, 825. The pointy third deals 100 damage to Beastman formation. Warden formation, total defense, attacks Goon Cavalieri, Blitz, attack value, 412, versus defense value, 2677. Warden formation deals 1 damage to the pointy third. Warden formation has been destroyed.
For just a moment, the fire dimmed. If that had been the end of the orders that he'd left in the warframe, Caden suspected control would have been returned to him there. Instead, came the next order, the second in a queue of 5 attacks each predicated on the success of the others. The warframe allowed for a complicated series of if-then commands, which Caden had appreciated at the time, but despised now. He wanted off the ride, out of the unnatural sensation of being a prisoner within his own body. But that wouldn't be happening. Not for another 4 formations. Still, the combat results were promising. It might be an unsettling violation of the very concept of free will, but at least they were winning while they did it. His own voice built up to a scream of unbridled fury as the men and women of his formation closed ranks and began another charge towards the second enemy formation. Behind him, he could hear Celia chanting away at a healing spell he'd never heard of, while a few bolts of fire and thrown knives further announced their intentions to the unfortunate subject of their stampede. The second verse was same as the first, while the third made a fine capstone for their trilogy. Their combat losses barely registered, while the defeat of their enemies was total. No warden soldiers took flight or dropped to their knees in surrender. Each had to be run down, each fighting to the last, albeit with greatly reduced efficiency as their already small numbers were further reduced. Their only complications came as Goon Cavalieri began to advance on their fourth victim. Ahead, Caden could see their intended target, but unlike the previous attacks, he could also see another enemy formation on the move. Warden soldiers, numbering perhaps 20 in total, were moving at a full run from their position in what must have been the adjacent hex, while Caden's target simultaneously marched to meet them. The behavior was curious, but Caden was sure he had it figured out, even before an alert appeared on his display to spell out what he was seeing.
Warden formation, 22nd, reinforces warden formation, 24th.
A defensive reinforcement tactic. Silver had actually theorized something of the sort might exist earlier in the week. She was going to be unbearably smug when all this was over. The reinforcement was a good strategy, Caden knew. If Ash had tried to lowball the enemy by hitting them with the militia, the reinforcements would step in and make the fight just difficult enough to punish her for it. It would have the beneficial effect of making her have to attack with a similar force all throughout the rest of the line, even though none of the later units used the same reinforcement tactic. The Warden General was frighteningly good. Pity for him that he hadn't been able to account for Caden's concealed forces. Reinforcements or no, the Goon Cavalieri with Caden at the head tore through the defending Warden forces as if they were not even there. Perhaps if the reinforcements had stacked their strength, they might have been strong enough to blunt the human's charge, but instead, the tactic merely pulled a second enemy into the line of fire. More grist for the mill, as it were. In total, they rampaged through a total of 7 enemy formations before victory at last released them from the clutches of combat. Caden shuddered in uncontrolled revulsion when he finally regained control of himself, his reaction comparatively mild when put up against the awkwardly funny metallic heaves that came from Michael, or the far less comedic tears that streamed down Celia's cheeks.
"Okay, I am not doing that again," Shifty said at last, his voice thick and hoarse from his involuntary battle cry.
"Yeah, count me out," Silver agreed, making a snipping motion with her fingers as she caught Caden's attention.
"Could you?"
"Not yet," he said apologetically. "I can't remove us from the unit until the start of next turn."
"Not a moment too soon," Michael said queasily.
"You know, if you're going to throw up, you should probably take off the bucket," Caden replied. Michael shot daggers at Caden, the effect, ironically, somewhat lessened by said helmet.
"Leave my bucket out of this."
"Only because you asked nicely," Caden smirked.
"So what now?"
Shifty asked. A fair question, considering Caden had been a bit light on the details beyond charge the wardens.
Now comes the fun part, Caden admitted. We get to see if Ash opens the gate and lets us in, or if we all stand out here and probably die.
Chapter 19 Day 9, midday turn. Resources, F, 620 plus 20, Z, 630 plus 30, M, 240 plus 5, I, 540 plus 20, P plus 40, R plus 10. Completed. Upper Township 5.
It seems I owe you a debt,
Dinah said, her voice carrying over the raucous noise of marching soldiers as Elan troops continued to file into the city in her wake. When neither of her two guests immediately replied, she pressed on.
You made quite an impression on my soldiers with your best impersonation of the Light Brigade.
The young man smiled, a certain mischief in his eyes as he replied,
Didn't that end poorly for the Light Brigade?
The captain opened her mouth to reply, then scowled.
Hoisting me by my own petard, are you?
He is only human, Silver observed, annoyed that Caden had gotten to the retort before she could.
My attaché, for example, thinks I misjudged you,
Ash said after briefly holding his gaze.
Or at the very least, was too hasty making any assessment too soon.
And you? Caden asked.
The stern-faced woman's expression twitched for a moment as she fought against a crooked smile, one that eventually blossomed despite her best efforts.
Agnostic, but open to proof.
She waved a hand in the direction of the royal quarter as she continued.
If you two will follow me, we have much to discuss.
Ash turned without waiting for a reply, her brisk steps setting a steady pace for a few seconds before she realized neither player was following her.
We're still attached to our unit, Caden explained. We can't go more than a mile from the gate.
Ah,
Ash laughed.
Well, that complicates things. This way, then, there is a decent enough tavern nearby.
The silence that accompanied their walk was just the wrong side of awkward. A grown professional woman flanked on either side by teenagers who were, for the next few weeks at least, her peers. It wasn't hard for either of them to see why Dinah might dislike that particular arrangement.
Thank you for opening the gates, Silver said at last.
Not like you left me much of a choice,
Ash retorted with a tilt of her chin.
I'd have had a mutiny on my hands if I hadn't opened the gates to permit you.
As Caden and Silver smiled, Ash continued.
Not that I suppose you imagine it'll do you much good now that you're trapped in here with us.
Caden's eyes narrowed at that.
Excuse me?
The walls?
When the confusion on the young man's expression only deepened, she clarified.
The wardens summoned 5 walls in total. One behind our field army, and then 4 more on the gates furthest from their advance.
As horror replaced confusion, Ash allowed herself a bitter laugh.
You didn't know.
At any other time, that bark of laughter might have driven Caden into a fury. Yet suddenly all he could feel was a blurry numbness. Warden troops would besiege the remaining 2 gates before he got so much as a turn to react, while the newly magicked walls would keep them pinned for at least long enough for the wardens to complete the encirclement. It was just as Ash had said. They were trapped.
Ignorance is often mistaken for heroism,
the officer murmured the aphorism with a certain sense of irony.
If you'd told us, Caden began.
But I couldn't.
Dinah shot back.
Even if we'd agreed to share information beforehand, their trap cut off all my communications. By the time I could have told you, it would have been too late.
She looked back over her shoulder to the ragged bands of Elan troops that were still following in their wake.
Besides, if I had told you, would you have abandoned us? Abandoned them?
As much as he hated to admit it, she had a point.
So what is our plan?
Silver asked, ever the pragmatist.
At the moment, I don't see that much has changed.
Ash shrugged.
If anything, it reinforces my original strategy. A breakout is out of the question. Even if we smash one of the walls, we have to assume the enemy will use the same strategy to bog us down with chaff to keep an escape from getting any real distance.
What about an alternate method of retreat?
There is one possibility,
Ash acknowledged.
I had a few of my men investigating the sewers to be sure there was no danger of a surprise attack once we retreat to the royal quarter, and they discovered...
A dungeon, I know. It won't work, Caden interrupted. Elon can't pass through an instance gate into a dungeon. The officer's face fell.
You're sure?
It can't hurt to try, but yes, I'm sure.
Then there is nothing,
Dinah said.
When the time comes, we can use the dungeon to evacuate all of the players. Hopefully we will have bled them enough and bought enough time to make it worthwhile.
The woman smiled grimly.
If we are lucky, they try and starve us out. That would buy you quite a bit of time for your plan, wouldn't it?
Caden clenched his jaw, teeth grinding against one another as Ash spoke. Ilo was home to thousands of Elon, thousands of men, women, even children whom she had already written off for dead, regardless of the outcome of the siege.
You're going to expand your militia.
It wasn't a question. Ash could see that much plainly on his expression.
I am.
You're not even going to try and come up with an alternative?
Color flooded his cheeks as he pressed her.
Such as?
I don't know, Caden shot back angrily, brushing away Silver's hand as she tried to hold back his fury. See if they can dig an escape tunnel if you plan to be under siege that long. Knock a hole in the back wall, or hell, just lower them down on ropes if you're worried the wardens are going to cross and leave the rear vulnerable.
Any Max Exodus is going to be noticed. They'll be run down by warden cavalry who have nothing better to do during the siege.
Ash retorted.
If you'd sent them away a few days ago, like I told you to, they'd already be safe on the Bastion side of the damn river,
Caden shot back, nearly as angry about her being right as he was about her failure to act when the time had been ripe. Any pretense of walking to a destination had long since vanished, the two squaring off with one another in the middle of the street, Ash's hand noticeably on the pommel of her dagger as she spat her own venom in reply.
A mistake, fine. What would you have me do now? Spend their lives for a purpose, or leave them unarmed and terrified as the wardens take their city. I can't very well teleport them out now, can I?
Why not?
Silver cut in, before Caden could throw either words or the punch that his bald fist suggested he would prefer.
Why not what?
Ash snarled.
Why can't you teleport them out?
The Israeli officer rolled her eyes.
Do I look like a spellcaster?
No, not you,
Silver said irritably.
We were teleported to Bastion by one of the Duke's mages. Victoria, I think her name was.
It was hard for Silver to keep a straight face as Ash and Caden went through the same series of expressions. Irritation, confusion, realization, followed finally by complete, red-faced embarrassment.
The Ducal Palace has been closed since the event began,
Ash replied sternly, though there was no mistaking the fact that she had forgotten the Elon sorceress just as readily as Caden had.
Then we go knocking at the end of turn. Kick the door down if we have to,
Silver replied, eyes turned to Caden.
Unless you have a better plan.
Nothing off the top of my head, Caden admitted. But what makes you think she can help? Teleporting 7 people from here to Bastion is a far cry from teleporting the population of an entire city.
She might not be up to it herself, Silver conceded. But with help, she might be.
What sort of help?
Ash inquired.
Player help, along with a generous helping of the city's magical power, which I doubt you'll mind spending since it'll all be lost anyways.
Silver smiled wanly.
I've been taking over some of the basics with Roberta the Builder back at...
Wait, Roberta the...
Not important,
Silver cut in, desperate to keep the topic at hand.
One of the things we've discussed is the possibility of enhancing her abilities beyond the novice level by having other mages, human mages, linking up with her as part of a ritual spell. If that holds true for her, it should probably hold true for this one as well.
And if she's above a novice, you think she can teleport larger groups?
Ash said. Silver considered the question for a moment, and then shrugged.
Without talking to her, I can't be sure. But I think so.
The girl thought about her own answer for half a heartbeat, before adding,
Actually, I think we'd be better off doing something more than that. Maybe a teleportation circle. It wouldn't go nearly as far as Bastion, but it doesn't have to if the goal is just to buy some distance to run away.
You were going to tell me about these conversations when exactly? Caden asked.
When I had something to report,
Silver scowled.
I never got the chance to test it out before Vile Rat summoned you.
Nobody summons-
Yeah, sure thing, Megatron, Silver snorted with laughter. How much would you need?
Ash asked.
Magic? No idea. But let's default to all of it and be pleasantly surprised when it is less.
Ash seemed unimpressed by the reply.
And how many players? As many as we can spare, to be honest. Myself for sure, probably Celia as well, assuming her magic is compatible. If you have anyone else, we'll use them too.
Silver shrugged.
Again, really hypothetical.
Even a 0.1% chance is better than the flat zero we had a few minutes ago. Caden's voice barely contained his relief.
Doesn't some of your plans still hinge on us remaining?
Ash's eyes were on the young man as she spoke.
To hold the wardens in place long enough, I mean. If we retreat too soon, that would impact your delaying tactic.
Caden briefly scratched his chin as he considered her words.
Yes and no. They'll get done with the city faster, but if we set things up right, they'll be weaker for it.
Set things up right?
Ash repeated with some consternation.
An idea I had a few days ago on the march. At the time I didn't think you'd go for it, but if we're abandoning the city, well, I think you might like this one.
Chapter 20 Day 10, Midday. Resources. F, 680 plus 20. Z, 720 plus 30. M, 255 plus 5. I, 600 plus 20. P plus 40. R plus 10. Completed. Upper Township 6. New specialization unlocked.
All right, you raggedy sons of bitches, form up!
Aleph shouted, the pommel of his sword punctuating the end of his sentence with a clatter that, like his words, was almost entirely drowned out by the roar of a nearby formation. It didn't matter, the words themselves weren't really what was important, he'd begun to learn. In the din of battle, the men could barely hear him, but they looked to him all the same. In a lot of ways, it reminded him of raising his boy. The infant didn't have even half an idea what he was saying, but the fact that he said it was reassuring enough.
In front of you, at least 10,000 of those stone-faced bastards, he pointed with the tip of his blade to indicate the well-ordered horde just across the thin river that separated the royal quarter from the city proper.
Behind you, at least 10,000 of your fellow Elon. Your neighbors, your barbers, for some of you perhaps, even your wives and children. Between them, you!
His words continued unabated as he paced back and forth up the line. Aleph never had much liked heights, and given the option, would have much preferred to be giving this speech with firm ground beneath his feet, rather than on the allure of the tallest wall in the damn city.
But our new commander is generous. We don't have to stay here all day or all week with our arms getting tired from breaking open so many stone heads. No, as far as he is concerned, this is an afternoon outing.
The sudden flinch of his soldiers forced Aleph to a knee, mere moments before a ballista bolt rocketed just overhead. It wouldn't have hit him in either case, but even with a couple of dozen feet of clearance between them, the weapon had come too close for comfort.
Do you mind?
Aleph shouted over one shoulder to the mirth of his soldiers. His heart beat heavily as he stood, a glare alternating between his men and the enemy. The latter was a far greater concern, the first of their great siege ladders moving into position.
Looks like they're so impatient they won't even let me finish my speech, he snickered. You know what to do. Smash their ladders, break their heads, and we'll be back in Bastion in time for dinner.
A deep, low horn sounded on the warden side of the field, a terrible and unnatural air that split what little calm remained in the air. The sound of it reverberated across his skin, prickling goose flesh as the bottom dropped out of his stomach. There was nausea and fear, like the sound of some great animal growling nearby. The humans had a name for the noise, but it was one Aleph hadn't bothered to learn. He'd already heard the noise 3 times in a week. He knew what it meant. The wardens were coming. As the deep note faded, a new noise replaced it, a sound far more familiar to any common soldier. The harsh snap and clattering whistle of arrows in flight. Hundreds of them. Perhaps thousands. His pep talk hadn't been entirely accurate. While it was true that the warden forces numbered somewhere about 10,000, they were only facing a fraction of that number. The section of curtain wall that bordered the river was only 2 miles in length, and even though it expanded slightly on the opposite side of the river, the space was still just large enough for about 2,500 men at any one time. 2,500 men could still shoot a lot of arrows. Fortunately, they had among the best defensive positions one could hope for, including a high battlement for just this sort of situation. Almost as one, his men pressed forward, locking their shields together in an impenetrable wall above their heads as they sheltered behind the thick stone battlement. Hundreds of arrows clattered off stone, and hundreds more overshot the wall entirely to land in the courtyard below. Only a few dozen found any purchase on the top of the wall itself, and of those, the majority came nowhere near a shield, let alone a soldier. As a single attack, the volley was less than useless. The complete failure sparked another round of laughter among Caden's men, their morale soaring in the face of such a flimsy first strike. Then the second wave hit, followed by the third. The warden archers had thousands of arrows, and the lack of an opposing force of artillery left them free to fire until they had spent the entirety of their ammunition. Each round of the withering fire took its toll, wearing down arms and inflicting the occasional injury here and there down the defensive line. The laughter didn't last, especially since every man on the wall knew what was coming next. The wardens had used a similar tactic in their assault on the outer wall, to great effect, forcing the defenders to keep their heads down while their infantry got into position to begin to storm the defenses. They hadn't even lasted the full morning, not with so much wall to defend. The wardens had shattered them in 3 separate places, forcing a complete retreat mere hours after the battle had been joined. They could have lasted longer, Aleph believed, if the players had devoted the militia to the wall instead of whatever madness they had put them up to in the city. Even just having them absent might have been enough, considering how damaging it had been to morale to watch as Ilo's citizens tore their home itself to shreds. Aleph couldn't begin to fathom their plan, why they had devoted so much manpower to ripping the city to pieces. Some little parts of it had made sense, such as the barricades they had constructed as they'd shattered structures and thrown belongings into the streets, but there was no rhyme or reason to where they'd placed them. They didn't help the retreat. In many places, they actively impeded it, in fact. The wardens wouldn't have to destroy Ilo once they captured it. The humans had done it for them. Despite their earlier setbacks, however, he was confident that they could hold the royal quarter for quite some time, even if the field marshal didn't need them to. Defending the outer wall had always been destined to fail, with the warden forces able to bring the entirety of their numerical advantage to bear the odds were too great. Here the odds were, if not in their favor, significantly strengthened. Their forces were shaken from the morning engagements, true, but they were also concentrated.
They had a river between them and the enemy, and had ruined the bridges in their retreat. If the wardens thought they would take the royal quarter with ease, they were in for a sore surprise. A hard thud struck the wall, causing it to shudder beneath Aleph's feet. His first thought was catapult, but then, that had been his first thought this morning as well. The wardens seemed aware of how ineffectual their heavy artillery would be against the powerful and ancient walls of Ilo, so while they did take the occasional pot shot, as evidenced by his near decapitation earlier, they had saved the weapons for last on their first assault. The sound wasn't a weapon. It was a tool.
"Siege ladder!"
Aleph cried, rising from behind the defense of Merlin, sword and shield in hand.
"Come on, you apes! Do you want to live forever?"
Another hail of arrows rained down upon them as the fighting first rose to confront the new threat, the weapons blessedly finding nothing but shield and air in their flight. There would be no more. Aleph knew, not with enemy forces rushing up to meet them with all speed. His word choice hadn't been entirely accurate, he now realized. What had appeared to be a ladder on first glance had been assembled into a device that was as much ramp or staircase as it was ladder. Unable to cross the river to fix it near the wall's base, as they had done outside the city, the wardens had relied on a much larger contraption, one that was supported in a half dozen places by great pillars of earth that erupted some time during the enemy's volley fire. The magics had helped create a much more able siege weapon, one that would be simultaneously easier to climb and harder to detach. A worrisome combination.
"Axeman!"
Aleph shouted. They had some time before the first of the warden troops reached the top of the weapon, and they needed to do work while they could. Below, he could see that the earth supporting the device had wrapped around the very frame of it, giving it an incredibly stable base. This would not be so simple as pushing the ladder over. They would need to destroy at least a few feet of its top if they had any chance to disable it. Perhaps just as concerning was what he saw below. The bridges that they had taken great pains to destroy upon their withdrawal had been replaced by the same infuriating sorcery that was supporting the warden's siege weapons. A pair of 20-foot-wide stone arches now extended from one riverbank to the other, warden soldiers flowing over them faster than the river ran beneath. In the lead-up to the battle, he'd questioned the wisdom of leaving some 500 of their men in the garrison. He no longer did. Nor did he have time to gawk and ruminate over strategy, not as the first of the warden soldiers reached the crest of the ladder, spear in hand. Three blades pierced the terracotta warrior before he could even lay a foot upon the battlement itself. In an instant, all semblance of life drained from the creature, the unnatural elasticity of its earthen limbs taking on a sudden rigidity as it toppled from the ladder, no doubt to shatter on the ground far below. A cheer ran through his men, many of whom pressed forward in an attempt to get a swing at the next warrior as it arrived. First blood was theirs. Such as it was. As was second, third, fourth, and fifth. Aleph had never had the misfortune of assaulting the walls of a keep, but he could not imagine how any Elon could rush into the waiting point of the enemy's blade the way these wardens could. They were relentless and without fear, arriving two or three at a time and being struck down nearly as quickly. Each tried something new, a few taking faint swings at their Elon executioners, others trying to block or parry from their awkward position. Eventually, a strategy paid off. One of the advancing wardens took the blades of his attackers, a sword to each shoulder, and a third through her abdomen, but the stone-faced woman kept coming. She threw herself bodily onto one of her attackers, unyielding hands closing about the man's throat as she bared down upon him. She was slain a moment later, but not before her distraction allowed two more of her comrades to find purchase on the battlement. Slowly but surely, Aleph's forces were pushed back, until a small pocket of the warden soldiers had formed. A brief skirmish erupted, one of his men falling under a crooked dagger held by one of the dirt-fleshed monstrosities. Then the tide swung again. the Elan pushing forward, laying low the few wardens who had dared to challenge their supremacy. And so it went. In the thick of combat, Aleph could spare little thought and even fewer glances up and down the line of the battlement, but what he did see looked remarkably similar. The Elan were giving better than they got, but it was by no means the sure thing they had hoped for. Here and there a failure produced a threat, exhaustion leading to further mistakes that cost yet more lives. A small breakout to their left threatened their flank in a way that might have been fatal had reserve forces not stepped in to cover them. Time was barely a thought in the maelstrom of combat, only that persistent reminder at the back of Aleph's mind. Just a few hours.
"Heave!"
Aleph shouted, throwing every ounce of his strength into the aching muscle of his shoulder as the latter in turn was braced against the back of his shield. Behind and beside him, his men did the same, putting all their weight into driving yet another successful cluster of warden soldiers from the crest of the wall. Each of the 6 stone soldiers were somehow heavier than they looked, and the footing was treacherous with a tangle of limbs, but the Elan prevailed. The weight lifted in stages as the stone heads toppled one by one from the edge of the wall, back down onto the ladder from whence they'd come.
"Now!"
The mass of soldiers parted as the axemen returned. Their work was almost done, and the warriors they had toppled back down the ladder had opened just the gap they needed. A sharp crack accompanied each swing of the axe, loud enough to be heard over the ever-present sounds of combat. Each impact was music and salvation to the Elan soldiers, who watched their fellows, balanced precariously on the edge of the battlement, taking swing after swing with reckless abandon. The sound of splintering was heaven itself as the head of the ladder gave way, parts of it plummeting to the ground below, while remnants clung to the wall where their metal spikes had pierced it. It wasn't perfect. The opened gap only 3 feet wide, but with a few men left to dissuade jumpers, it would be enough. The wardens weren't coming up this ladder. Only 12 more to go. Chapter 21.
Day 10, evening. Resources: F, 700 plus 20. Z, 750 plus 30, M, 260 plus 5, I, 620 plus 20, P, plus 40, R, plus 20. Completed. Keep repair, 3, library.
"Is everyone in position?"
Caden whispered.
A chorus of affirmations resounded through his display, some voices he recognized, almost with many more that he didn't.
One voice came through more clearly than the others, with a soothing calmness he certainly didn't feel.
"You can stop worrying. It is going to work."
"Prepare for the best, plan for the worst," Caden said wryly.
"I am 99% sure that isn't how that expression goes," came Shifty's reply.
"Well, you sure as hell better hope it is," Caden laughed.
"You're sure you don't want backup?"
He could almost hear the carnivalist's eyes rolling through the audio.
"We've got 2 stealthy characters, 1 at each gate. So unless you've got an extra one you're just planning to spring on me, no."
Okay, I get it," he relented.
A quick glance at the timer in the corner of his display told him that it was almost time. The warden evening turn was going to begin any moment now, so it wasn't like they had time to fix things if something had gone wrong. Not that anything as simple as that would stop him from worrying.
"Roberta, you're sure he would—"
"For the 3rd time, Field Marshal, yes."
It had taken considerable prodding to get the Elan woman to travel back to Ilo when he'd concocted this plan, but it had taken far more to get her comfortable enough to use a player mirror that they had left in the royal quarter.
"I have reinforced and jammed the 4 remaining gates, and no, the enemy will not be able to detect it unless they physically try the gates."
"Hey, can you blame me for—" "Yes!" came a chorus of voices too numerous to count. Apparently, he'd been a bit neurotic about the plan.
"Time is coming up," Silver said quietly.
"Okay. Good hunting, everyone. Silver,
You give us the word,
Caden said. With that, he sunk back against the wall, the final rays of the setting sun cascading in through a nearby shattered window in a way that sent a rainbow skittering across the floor of what had once been the common room of the Inn of the Dizzy Sheep. This had been the part of his plan that he'd liked the least, the one that pained him still. And he'd only spent a few months with this city as his home. He couldn't imagine what the Elan had felt when they'd been ordered to smash everything in sight, to pile books and clothing, to topple buildings that had once been their homes. Some had nearly rioted at just this indignity, let alone what would come next. And then there was Sarah. Her reaction had been one of just barely restrained violence. Caden couldn't even say he blamed her. The sound of heavy footfalls shook Caden from his ruminations and caused him to sink even deeper into the shadows behind the bar. It wasn't the first patrol that had marched past his hiding place since the wardens had taken the city that morning, but with luck, it would be the last. Caden wondered if the sight of warden troops in motion would ever stop being eerie. Eventually, probably just in time for him to be faced with some equally unsettling creature. It was the fluidity that bothered him. When they stood still, they looked like any picture he'd ever seen of the terracotta army he'd first heard about in a second-grade social studies class, even down to the individual wear and tear. He'd seen a fully functional warden soldier with a head half crumbled away due to imperfection in its craftsmanship. When they moved, it was uncanny, as though he were seeing a different statue in each instant. They didn't move like people. They moved with the facsimile of how a person should move. He shuddered as the two soldiers marched out of sight, his revulsion put on hold as a text message appeared in front of him.
Bammer. Caden, I've got someone special here.
Special how? Caden asked. The message wasn't from one of his party members, but the name was familiar. Samuel, the other thief. Bammer, as his fellow soldiers called him. When there was no immediate reply, Caden frowned and pulled up his display, typing out the same question in text. Bammer was in a very precarious position, so it made sense he didn't want to talk. But it was still strange he wasn't on the call at all.
Bammer.
Special as an officer.
Caden.
Can't be an officer.
A prompt interrupted Caden before he could explain further, a text box materializing on his display, informing him that Bammer was trying to bring him in on a video call. He quickly accepted, and the center of his AR display was soon dominated by a video of a warden officer on horseback. Special was indeed the correct word to use, as was officer. Possibly even general. If he'd been on foot, the man would have stood a head taller than any warden soldier or even any warden officer that they had seen thus far. More telling was the intricate way this one had been constructed. He was painted, and appeared to be dressed in fine silks as well as armor, silks that moved so convincingly and yet so unnaturally that it made Caden's eyes hurt to look at them for long. This was a warden built to stand out.
Okay, so maybe it is an officer, Caden admitted begrudgingly. Back to the drawing board on that theory. Skill use. Observe.
The words were barely more than a breath, but they had an immediate effect as Caden's view of the officer was further enhanced with a less-than-helpful status readout.
Temujin. Level 35. Boss. HP. Question mark. MP. Question mark. TP. Question mark. Skills. Unknown. Resistances. Unknown. Weaknesses. Unknown. Special. Construct traits.
Yeah, that certainly looks like final boss material, Caden murmured.
A few more figures wandered into frame as the officer passed, a complement of soldiers Caden suspected to be bodyguards followed directly in his wake, with a second set forming a close rank around a robed warden that Caden suspected must be the caster.
Level 28,
Bammer seemed to be of a mind with Caden as he continued to whisper.
If that is the caster, we might want to try and make a run at him, make things at Bastion a lot simpler.
Too risky, he replied. If you can keep an eye on where he goes and we get a good shot, then maybe. But if he keeps sticking around with his boss, he's too much for any of us to handle.
Maybe we'll get lucky and we'll get him in the bargain, Michael said, adding his 2 cents to the conversation. Caden scoffed.
We should be so lucky.
Quiet down, boys, Silver said abruptly. Looks like it is almost time.
He started to reply, then thought better of it. Instead, Caden took a moment to draw a few deep breaths, focusing on the rise and fall of his chest to steady his nerves.
If this doesn't work...
Seconds passed in silence as Caden turned his focus once more to the timer at the corner of his display. 6 minutes into the warden turn, shouldn't he be able to hear the start of the battle? Or was he just too far away? He began to stand as Silver's voice cut through his thoughts with a single command, "Do it!" A heartbeat passed, then the sound of an explosion rocked the city of Ilo. Another heartbeat, and a second equally powerful detonation shook the already profoundly damaged exterior of the Dizzy Sheep, the rainbow on the floor of the inn vanishing as what remained of the windowsill crashed into the empty street outside. The signal was hard to miss, but even still, Caden lingered longer than he should have. By the time she'd been told, Sarah didn't have much say in stopping the plan, but she did have just enough to guilt him into being the one stationed at the Dizzy Sheep. What was the Game of Thrones quote? He who passes the sentence should swing the sword? He who burns the city should set the fire.
Natha Lareth,
Caden invoked, a wave of flame erupting from his hand to engulf the nearby staircase. The runic spell was large on area, yet low on damage, but it didn't matter, no. It was actually better. Too strong of a fire might burn itself out before it really got going, and for this to work, it needed to go everywhere. He cast the spell 6 more times, depleting the majority of his MP as he made his way to the door. By the time he exited, the inn was fully ablaze, as were buildings on either side of it, and part of the broad street that had been piled with anything and everything flammable they could find. Why did he always end up burning things to the ground to solve his problems? Caden continued to discharge waves of magical fire as he began a lazy jog along his slated route. He knew his fellow players, 20 in all, would be doing the same thing. Bit by bit, they were putting nearly every inch of the now abandoned city to the torch, save for a few narrow corridors that would, or at least should, allow them to reach the royal quarter before the conflagration grew entirely out of their control. The wardens would not be so lucky. Barricades that had appeared useless when the Elon soldiers had retreated to the royal quarter would prove remarkably effective once doused with alchemist's fire. Not that they were needed after those 2 explosions. No. The barricades existed only to sow confusion for the enemy commander, to make him waste time and movement trying to find an escape route rather than throwing himself against the royal quarter's now weakened defenses. There was no escape. If Silver had given the go-ahead, that meant the enemy had stopped marching troops into the city. As much as half the warden forces, along with their commander, should be trapped in the furnace they were creating. Trapped, because Shifty and Bammer had just collapsed both of the remaining gates into a pile of impassable rubble. Trapped, because if they tried to use any of the other exits, they would find them bound and reinforced by Roberta's creation magic. His jog turned into a run as he ignited the last building on his list, the street behind him awash in flame, while the ones ahead of him were already beginning to be scorched by that same cruel mistress. The paths they had laid out in advance to avoid getting caught in their own trap were serpentine, most large enough for 1 or 2 people abreast, so as to preclude the possibility that any substantial warden formation could take advantage of them. Caden's, for example, took him through 2 tight alleyways and through 3 half-collapsed houses before at last depositing him at the southernmost edge of the royal quarter. From there it was down a trip into the cringeworthy sewers. Ash's investigations had indeed found an unsecured link between the city and the royal quarter, one that would have proven exceedingly dangerous if the wardens had ever been given enough time to locate it. As it was, the entrance provided a stealthy, if somewhat distasteful, method of entering and exiting their secured position.
"How are we doing?"
Caden asked as Michael grasped his forearm and helped him over the last lip of the sewer exit.
"So far, so good. You're the 3rd one back," Michael replied. "One of the toy soldiers—" A sharp glance from the nearby Dinah cut the derogatory nickname short. One of Ash's men ran into a patrol, but he managed to lose them on his B route. Everyone should be back within a few minutes.
And the army?
Holding, Ash replied, looking up to the battlements overhead. For now. Most of the rest are through the portal already, but it is going to be tight. We probably should have put a few dozen more on the battlements.
Caden shook his head.
Every man we put up there is a man we're going to lose, he said, his heart stinging at the fact that he had to say it at all. To get the most out of their one trap, they had to allow the wardens one more turn to move troops into the city, but that came at a cost. Someone had to guard the royal quarter, and the 150 men they'd left behind to do it were not going to be able to escape with the rest of them. Fighting to win was even harder than he'd expected it to be.
Everything set up and ready to torch here?
He asked, turning his attention away from the uncomfortable knot in his stomach. Michael grinned wickedly.
Ready to blow. The ducal palace turned out to have an alchemy lab.
I'm sure the Duke will be happy we're putting it to good use.
I'm sure the Duke would have us all hanged if he could get away with it,
Dinah said with something just barely approaching humor in her tone.
He was uncooperative when we finally removed him from the palace.
That will be a fun conversation. I'm sure he'll be reasonable, Ab...
Before he could continue, a voice cut in over his audio feed.
Are you guys seeing this?
Yeah, but who the hell is that?
I don't know, but she's tearing through them like tissue paper.
Guys, cut the crosstalk, Silver barked. Someone with eyes, give us a feed.
I've got it,
came an unknown voice, followed by another video call notification. The video feed was not great. Both in the subpar device recording and streaming it, as well as the nauseating head bobbing as the source struggled to get into a position with a clear shot. Twice the feed hung and skipped rapidly to catch up before at last it stabilized into something resembling a sensible image. A blue-haired young woman tearing her way through warden soldiers with her bare hands.
Command! Call Sarah!
Caden shouted in a mixture of panic and fury. When the device replied with an angry buzz, it took every ounce of his self-control not to scream at the top of his lungs.
Oh, for Command! Call Desdemona!
This time, he was rewarded with a soft chime, followed by a quiet jingle as the software embedded in his AR display paired off against his mirror to make the call. A few seconds later, another chime, a moment of dead air, then the sound of ragged breath.
A little busy right now, Caden.
I can see that. What the hell do you think you're doing?
Putting an end to this,
she replied, punctuating her word with a martial ki as her right leg swept through the midsection of a warden soldier, bisecting the stone soldier just above the waist.
Sarah, there are thousands of warden soldiers out there, even if you make it...
Busy now. Talk later.
Before Caden could say another word, a pair of soft chimes signaled her decision to end the call.
God damn it!
Caden swore.
Silver, maybe she'll listen to you.
I'll try,
came the voice from his headset.
What is she trying to do?
Michael asked incredulously, having missed Sarah's side of the conversation as he watched the video of the charming waitress brutally tearing through warden troops with seemingly no regard to their attacks.
I have a pretty good idea,
Caden frowned, manipulating a few options on his display before speaking again.
Bammer, do you still have eyes on that officer?
Nag. He shouldn't be hard to find, though. He was heading straight down the royal road in your direction.
Caden threw up his hands.
Stupid.
What?
Michael asked, still not getting it.
She's making a run for the enemy officer.
Isn't that good?
Michael asked, gesturing to the feed on his display.
She's tearing through them like they aren't even there.
Officer is a level 35 boss. She is level 40. Even if she does take him down, she isn't getting out of there alive.
He pounded a fist into his hand and called out into the open air once again.
Silver, please tell me.
She blocked calls after the first ring. Probably too much of a distraction, Silver said apologetically. I can try and divert some of the...
No, Caden replied flatly. Get everyone back here and through that portal.
Dinah's eyes lit up in surprise, alongside with the first real genuine smile he'd ever seen on her face.
I'll go with you.
Are you sure?
Wait, what do you mean, go?
Michael asked, his eyes flickering back and forth between the two.
Oh, you have got to be kidding. You just said it is suicide for her, and now you're going out there?
Safety in numbers, Caden replied as he turned and began to walk in the direction of the nearest of the two gates.
And you're going along with this madness?
Michael asked, fresh anger in his tone as he turned his attention to Ash.
Heroism is often mistaken for madness,
the older woman said with a chuckle, extending her arm and manipulating virtual space until an enormous two-headed great axe materialized into her grip.
This is honestly one of the better ideas the boy has ever had.
We'll get her and ditch in the sewers,
Caden explained as he reached the gate and the sallyport door to the embedded in the wall to the side of it. Some 50 soldiers manned the defense, ready to abandon it the moment they received the all-clear to run for the nearby portal, but as of yet, the door, reinforced by Roberta's magic, was holding.
And if we get a good shot at the officer?
He is twice our level. What exactly do you plan to do to him? Caden scowled.
If it looks like Sarah can take him down, great, then cover her. Hopefully we'll get to her before she gets to him.
Nearby, Michael sighed in frustration.
You know you two are nuts, right?
I know you weren't holding your sword a minute ago, Caden observed.
I hate you so much right now, Michael spat. Let's get this over with.
Chapter 22. The outer door of the sallyport swung open to silence. It was one of the other things that made the wardens such uncomfortable foes. A goblin or a beast man might shout obscenities or war cries in their language. A powerful monster might roar or give some other indication of its displeasure. A warden soldier did none of that. They simply reoriented, fixed their weapons, and went on the attack with an almost Terminator-esque verve to kill their new target. Fortunately, as far as the Siege of Ilo was concerned, if anyone was Arnold Schwarzenegger, it was Dinah. The foot-wide blade of her axe swept through the bodies of three warden soldiers as she emerged into view, killing two and gravely wounding the third as the weight of the weapon sent the injured soldier flying in an impressive display that would have given pause to any living opponent. The attack had its flaws, but the comparatively tremendous wind-down time after her use of the cleave skill was no weakness at all when she had Caden and Michael to back her up. They came out the door behind her at a dead run, swords lashing out at the nearest warden forces to take advantage of what little element of surprise remained. Behind them, a few warden soldiers swarmed the sallyport, their attempt stifled as the Elan soldiers inside slammed and barred the door behind the players a moment before Dinah rewarded their tactic with two overwhelming swings of her axe. Warden soldiers were everywhere around them, their shadowed forms illuminated only by the roaring hellscape that lay just across the river. There were more than expected, but it shouldn't be a problem. Already he could see formation after formation pulling back from the wall, retreating down this street or that one as their commander ordered them towards prospective escape routes that would ultimately prove fruitless. What units weren't retreating were attacking, their focus on the battlements or the gates, trying to break the royal quarters' defenses in hopes of finding shelter from the roaring conflagration outside. If these units had been organized against them, their little trio wouldn't stand a chance. But there was no order to this. Their only threat was the knee-jerk offense of individual nearby wardens. That they could deal with.
To the north bridge, Caden ordered.
The wardens were particularly thick there, but trying to swim or use the south bridge would take too long. Sarah was fast and driven. If they wanted to catch up to her, the only hope they had was to follow her wake, for lack of a better term. After all, if the enemy were chasing her, then they wouldn't be impeding them. Together, the three of them began cutting their way through the warden troops with a steady rotation of skill usage. Dinah's would use her area of effect attacks, killing or injuring a cluster of enemy troops. Then Caden and Michael would rush in, snagging the enemy aggro and putting down the wounded warden troopers before any nearby healers could clear away some of the damage. It was slow going at first,
leapfrogging from one group of enemies to the next, but the longer they fought, the easier it became. Apart from a few archers taking pot shots, the Warden troops were not smart enough to vary their tactics or to adapt on the fly to the player's strategy. And like anything else, the more they did it, the better they got at it. By the time they'd reached the bridge,